Awesome. So drop off your kids and go home. Or go to Warrior and Elijah's series, live groups that we're starting this Wednesday. So we're really pumped about what God is doing in our church. And I'm so excited to see the hand of God moving. Okay, and that's important in a church. That's important when you see life. You see abundant life. A church that is alive is a church that is not just growing in numbers. We talk about a church that is growing spiritually or moving in one direction, serving God and serving one another. Love God, love others. Kind of like that's on our core values of Oceans United. So this morning is week number 3 of the series called Jonah, a man who ran and a God who chased. So if you got your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. And if you're joining us for the very first time, the week number 1 and number 2, they are available on our website. You can listen to them audio, you know, through the audio, where you can go about your business and put your pods on and be able to listen to the message. There's notes that are out there, also available on your app. And also we have the YouTube channel where you're able to connect and watch, you know, the recorded messages that are out there. So there's no excuse for not being connected. All right. In week number 1, I'm going to do a little bit of a recap. Week number 1, we find Jonah running away from God's calling. Jonah is on the run and he's running away from God. He's running away from the presence of God. So he thought. You know, you can't run away from the presence of God. So we find Jonah in the belly of a boat, a ship. But yet there, God found him. And you know, we call these but moments, but God moments, right? How many of you know what I mean by a but God moment? You were going about your business, doing your own thing, but God, right? You know, it might look like a but God might look like an interruption to your daily business, an interruption to a normal life. But the but God is a moment where God intervenes into your life. He stops time and he intervenes and he brings in an intervention that is divinely appointed by him. And during this time of intervention, sometimes we might see it even in the life of Jonah. It comes in the form of a storm. But the storm is not there to destroy you, but to get your attention. And then you see another intervention that comes in. You see a whale that swallows you. But the purpose of the whale is not to destroy you, but just to get your attention. So God has a purpose for each and every one of these interventions in your life. And in the last part of chapter 1, God sent this an intervention called grace. And grace showed up in the form of a whale. I bet you didn't know that this whale had a name. This whale's name is Grace. God's grace. So in week number 2, we find Jonah sitting in the belly of grace. He's no longer physically running from God, but emotionally, spiritually, he's running like Forrest Gump. He's running and he doesn't know how to stop. He's running in his mind. He's running away right here, away from God for what God wants to do. And during this time that he's running away, he's being disciplined by God. Disciplined by God in such a way that part of his life, as we know it, he feels like he's been shaken by God. Have you ever been in a place, in a position where God is shaking you? Where you feel that God is shaking you so much, making a mess, But God is shaking you so much that whatever is inside of you is coming out. You feel like God is squeezing you to the point that whatever is inside of you is coming out. God calls it His discipline. And during this time that you're being squeezed, it comes about to you like maybe in the form of your boss or co-worker. Susie Q at Safeway. Bring back Susie Q. That you want to avoid at all costs because Susie Q is crazy. But yet again, God has placed Susie Q in your life for you to be able to reach out to. Squeezes you, gets you out of that comfort zone. But yet again, you're trusting God in that process. That was the place where we find Jonah in chapter 2. In the belly of a whale, being squeezed by the grace of God. Not to destroy him, but to show him his divine purpose in life. So it's called God's grace. Sometimes God's grace shows up in the form of a storm. Sometimes it shows up in a form of a whale. But either way you look at it, it's God's grace packaged in such a way to draw out the best in you. And it comes in the form of squeezing. And it comes in the form of shaking. It's called God's discipline. And when you submit to that process of discipline, you go from strength to strength. The path becomes clear. You know where to go. The voice of God becomes like you can hear Him clearly. This is God speaking. And in the belly of that whale, Jonah did something that he hasn't done in a long, long time. You know what he did? He prayed. He prayed. He prayed and he asked God to forgive him. He repented at that moment was when he was inside of that whale. So he called on to God. Remember last week? He cried out to God. God heard his cry. And God responded in Jonah 2 verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish. The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited him on dry land. If God can speak to a fish and save a man's life, God can also speak in your situation and bring a revival and bring restoration and bring deliverance into your life. This is the type of God that places you in tough spot, not to destroy you, but to point you in the right direction. So he prayed and God heard his cry. So today we pick up in chapter 3. Back on dry land. And we find a much different Jonah. We find a Jonah repentant and regurgitated. We find a Jonah believing and barfed. I can keep going like this. We find a Jonah bleach and beach. He's been bleached. I can keep going. I better stop. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. It says, and now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. What a powerful statement. It's powerful because it speaks to the Jonah inside of me. Second chance. The word came a second time. It speaks to the Jonah inside of all of us. How many times have we clearly heard the voice of God and we went the opposite direction? How many times in our own life, when we look back, we see God has aligned every single circumstances to point us in the right direction to follow Him, and we choose to go somewhere else. We've been there. Many of us, we've been there. Yet God gave each and every one of us a second chance. Aren't you glad this morning that you serve a God of a second chance? The God that gave us, come on, let's give him praise. We are here today because we serve a God of a second chance. By the way, not just a second chance, but a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. What I'm saying is that is in the nature of our God. It's in his nature to follow us, to pursue us. He's relentless. He's relentless in his pursuit of us because he's madly in love with you. He's madly in love with me, so he's pursuing me. And the purpose of his pursuit is not judgment. The purpose of his pursuit is forgiveness when we've run away from him. He pursues us to forgive us. And his forgiveness qualifies us for service. Some of you need to write this down because in your mind, in your heart, this is what you've been doing. You are remembering your past mistakes. And you're disqualifying yourself from ever serving God. Because you're thinking that, look at my mess. Look at what I've done. Look at what I did last night. Look at what I did last week. But God is saying repentance leads you back into service with him. This is exactly where we find Jonah right here. God finds him. God restores him because he repented. When you repent from your past, from your past ways, God qualifies you once again for his service. That's where you find your calling. That's where you find your purpose that God, wherever he's placed you, is when you embrace that forgiveness that can only come from him. When you embrace that forgiveness, the qualification to do what he's called you to do, that's where you get that stamp of his approval. You can show that to the enemy. Look, I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven by the Son of God. That qualifies me for service. I can once again be reinstated back into the promises of my God to follow his call on my life. That's where we find Jonah. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, confession here does not mean, my bad, I got caught, my bad. Confession here means to admit that you've done something that is wrong. Confession here means I'm ready to tackle that sin so that sin doesn't have any stronghold over me. Confession is much deeper than, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It's a little bit deeper than just that. It's going in, crying out to God, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm a mess. I've messed up. But here I am, ready to be used by you. That's confession. It's a declaration of your own faith. Because faith is believing, and faith is also speaking. So when you go to God, you don't need to be silent. How many want to go to God and we're like, oh, you know what? I don't want to disturb him. He's an old man. I don't want to be too loud because he's too old. God wants you to go to him and cry out to him with everything that you've got in him, especially when you've messed up. This is what we don't do very often. We don't go to God crying out to him, saying, Lord, restore, Lord, heal, Lord, bring revival, Lord, restore me back to your original plan. Give me a second chance. That's something that we don't do. I don't know if it is pride. I don't know what it is. We always think of God as the last thing, the last resort. If everything fails, maybe we should pray. Why don't we just pray right away? Why don't we just cry out to Him right away when we mess up? There's no point of going in life day after day hoping that somehow we'll find the right way. Guess what? We won't. If we go about our own business hoping that somehow we'll find the right path home, we won't. Because there is an enemy that is out there that is ready to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you think the enemy is going to make the path back to God clear to you? No. He's the author of every confusing spirit that you can think of. He's going to make every path ever so confusing so that you can never find your way back to God. So why not cry out to our living God and say, here I am. Here I am. With all my mess, with all my doubts, with all my fears, you come up to God. God doesn't waste anything. Your fears that were in that bottle that's being squeezed out, God doesn't waste it. Your circumstances in your life, God doesn't waste that either. Your tears, God doesn't waste. In fact, in Psalms it says that every drop of your tears is kept in a bottle. Can you imagine that? This is the type of God that we serve, that He would use your pain. He will use your pain to bring restoration. He will use your pain to give you a testimony so that you can testify of how good your God is. So all of these, they work out together for the good for those who are called by Him. So you got to go back to the place where you were called by Him. Sometimes it's in the belly of a whale. Sometimes it's in the middle of a storm. But you got to hear His voice. And the only way you can hear His voice is to cry out to Him. And He did. And in 1 John 1, 9, we are getting to that place where if you confess your sin. And I'm talking about confession in terms of crying out to Him. Lord, I'm crying out to You because I've messed up. The purpose of confession is repentance. That means turning away from your past, from every mistake that you've made, and turning to Him, turning to God. And the other part of verse 1:9 is He's faithful. He's faithful. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The purpose of confession is to meet Christ face to face. Is to have a face to face encounter with Him. So that you can hear Him one more time. Isn't that wonderful? So when you're repenting and coming back to God, and when you're in that tent of meeting, that's an Old Testament thing. When you're in that tent of meeting, you are there on an appointment with God. So that you can meet Him face to face. So that everything that you've done cannot be hidden anymore. Because He knows. But when you get in that tent of meeting to have an encounter with Him, you meet Him with His grace. You see Him showing you His grace, His mercy. And the purpose of that repentance is so that you can hear His call. A second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. Your God is a God who's relentless in His pursuit of you. Now let's look at Jonah's call in verse 2. And I believe we can break that up into two parts. In Jonah 3 verse 2, we see this. Arise, go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. That call did not change, by the way. That call did not change. It's the same call. God didn't say, you know what, since you messed up, you disobeyed and you went to Tarshish instead of where I called you in Nineveh. You totally disobeyed. I need to kind of change a little bit of that calling now. No, it's the same call. God doesn't change the call. God doesn't change the purpose. In fact, before you were born, isn't that what the word says? He's called you. He's called you by name. And he said, you are mine. He's given you a purpose. But he wants you to follow each and every step that he sets before you. He wants you to follow that. So the call is the same as the original one. It never changes. It's the same call. It's the same word. Just like the word of God. It can never change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The message itself doesn't change. So God is calling him to go to Nineveh. Culture that is 100% different from his. But Nineveh, in his culture, that was the mission field. How many times when we think about the mission field, we think about something that is way outside of the United States? How many times when we think about that, the mission field, we think it's way out there. But the mission field is right here. It's our culture. That is the greatest mission field that we have, is right here, our culture, our own culture. So God is calling him to bring the same message. The message never changed. The call never changed. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Bring that same message that I'm going to give you. So arise and go to Nineveh. When God gives us a second chance, you will know it. That call will resound in your ears, in your heart, in your mind. You will know that this is the voice of God. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered where was Jonah when God vomited him? When the whale vomited him? It was kind of like God vomited him on dry land. Where was that dry land? I think many of us think it's Nineveh. Kind of like God gave him a shortcut, took him to Nineveh, say, I'll give you a ride. Hop on the whale or get inside the whale. I'll give you a ride where you need to go. I know you disobeyed, but guess what? I got a whale that will take you where you need to go. But I don't think so. In fact, if you really study the concept, what is behind the scene there and what happened during this time, we're talking about 650 BC, I believe God took him right back where he started. I believe God took him right back to Joppa. Right where he was, because that's always the last place where he last heard the voice of God regarding his calling. I believe God said to Jonah, still have a purpose for you. And we're going to start right where we left off. Right where we left off. Maybe you're here right now and you're wondering, God has given me a second chance, Pastor. What's next? That's a great question. What's next? Because a lot of time we don't know this. We've been given a second chance. We're alive, we're breathing right now, right? Everyone is breathing. We've been given a second chance to face another day. So what's next? What do we do when we've been given a second chance? Here's the answer. What was the last thing God told you to do? Start there. Somebody better write this down. This is way too good to let that go. What was the last thing that God told you to do? What was the last thing? And that is where you start. I know the last thing might be something, you know, that God has asked you to do before you skirted around the issue. We are very good at doing this. We're very good at skirting around whatever God has called us to do. And sometimes we even put theology into it. We put a little word, a little scripture that we pick and choose what we want the word to say about what God is not saying. You know what I'm saying? Well, let me find out a word that is that can dig in to say what God is not saying. So that I can do whatever I want to do, but I'm going to justify it somehow by not doing it. I don't know what it would be. Maybe it was Susie Q again. Let's bring back Susie Q, baby. You know, we got to bring back Susie Q. Maybe it was Susie Q again at Safeway that God was telling you, hey, you need to reach out to Susie Q. You need to do that. Here's what you do. You go back and you do it. That's where you start. Maybe it is like, you know, the Spirit of God has been dealing with you about tithe. Your tithe. That was the last thing you heard from God. Guess what you do? Go back and do it. Maybe it is to apologize to your spouse. Guess what you do? You go back and you do it. That's where you find the call. See, sometimes when we think about the call, we are always thinking about the big call. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I supposed to be a lawyer? Am I supposed to be an engineer? Am I supposed to be a teacher? We think about the big things. But a lot of times we forget about the little callings, the little call that we get from God. That it aligned, every one of these calls, they align themselves to the big call. But we are so focused on the big call that we miss the little things, the little tasks. The little assignment that God sets before us. Something as simple as apologizing to someone for doing them wrong. Start there. Whatever the Spirit of God has put inside of you, that's where you start. I believe this is why Jonah found himself again in Joppa on the shores of Joppa, because that was the last place he heard the voice of God. This is my journal. This is my journal from a few years ago, many years ago. And I'm reading here of something that God said a while back to me. We're talking about Sunday, September 28th, 2014. That's a while back. That's a while back. See, this thing is old and, I mean, it's a mess. So I went back in because that message spoke to me. I felt like the Holy Spirit was bringing me back to something that he said that far back. And it connects with this. Sunday, September 28, 2014, 2:52 a.m., Kodiak, Alaska. We were in Kodiak. We were here just visiting. I'm going to read it. Read some of it. We rearrange our trip. This is me, Dawn, and the kids. We rearrange our trip so that all of us can go to Kodiak. I remember it was just meant to be me to go, to scout, to come here on a mission, to see if that was the place where God wanted us to plant a church. It's that far back. Arrived last night at 8:15. What a trip. I mean, this is probably not right. 10 to 15 foot waves. Probably was not right. Don and the kids were sick. Don was sick most of it, for the most of the trip. Around 2 a.m., God woke me up, and I kept hearing the song, Oceans, in my spirit. He woke me up at 2 a.m., and I kept hearing that song in my spirit. At that time, it was a brand new song. So I didn't even know the words. I remember pulling out my phone and looking it up. And I wrote down, it says, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where my feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in ocean deep," and so on and so forth. You know that song. At that same moment, God spoke and said, "This would be the name of the church." We are scouting at that point. We don't even know if that was the place for us to even plant the church. I was very skeptical. Believe me, that was not the place. Because there were so many opportunities somewhere else. Why not, Lord? I mean, you know, it was a Tarshish, Nineveh moment. Tarshish in Spain sounded so much better than Nineveh in Iraq. I mean, who would pick Iraq over Spain even today? I mean, if that's any of you, raise your hands. I mean, you know, seriously. And I remember arguing with God, no, it's not going to be Kodiak. Don and I are believing God for clear direction. Isn't that crazy? I had this thing in me that I don't want to go there. But yet again, to be spiritual, because we're Christian after all. Yeah, I'm believing God though. I'm believing God. I'm reading my own words. I'm believing God for clear direction on this trip. But in my heart, I've already written that thing off. We will hear his voice. Very spiritual. We will hear his voice. We are meeting with Pastor Trace Hodges of Kodiak Assembly in the morning at the 10 a.m. service. This service. And Don and I and the kids, we sat right here. Right in that row. Yeah, that's the anointed row right there. That's where God speaks. We sat in that row. And during this service, I was like, "Lord, speak. I'm ready to hear something, some clear direction." But nothing happened. Okay? So days passed. So I don't journal anything. Because, you know, when God is dealing with you, you feel embarrassed to even write stuff. I don't know if that's you. But when I'm writing things, I'm like, "Ooh, I want to write something spiritual, deep. But it's not coming." So days pass. Now it's October the 4th, 2014. Anchorage. We're back on where I believe God wants me to be. It's in Anchorage, not here. So the trip to Kodiak was not what we expected at all. Imagine that, right? It's never going to be what you expect. Because the place where God calls you to go, it's never going to be what you expect. Because God has already gone before you. And the place where God has called you, it's never going to be like perfection. If it is perfection, I'll be questioning what, Lord, maybe that's not you. Maybe that's the enemy making everything look smooth. When God calls you to a place, nothing is smooth. It's chaos. It's the whale. But in the middle of the whale, the chaos, that's where you find God's grace. So the trip was not what we expected at all. It led us to a lot of what? Fears, doubts, and turmoil. Big words that I'm using. We even contacted the bishop on Monday, 8:29. So that I'm reflecting to another day that was in the past now. I even aborted the whole thing. I'm like, I called him and said, "You know what? We are not going. And here's why not." You know what I mean? I came up with every kind of thing to say, this is not going to work. So we aborted the trip, we aborted the plan to plant this church. And we left it alone. So the storm passed, right? So you think. But then that came a time where the peace of God departed. Have you ever been in a place where you have no peace? You know that The Spirit of the Lord has departed. It's gone. His presence is no longer there. You feel like you're in the belly of the whale and you've been abandoned by God. That was that day. And I heard God said, retrace your step back to the place where you last heard me. Guess where he was? Right here. So I wrote down, we retrace our step back to the place where we had God's peace and heard his voice. So Friday I email and I humble myself before the state bishop, opening our hearts in the most vulnerable places, and we ask for another chance. At that moment, I asked God to give me a second chance, and he did. So it's always the last place where you last heard his voice. That's where you start. We've all been there. I've just read to you the deepest part of my own journey. We've all been there. But we have to be brave enough to, number one, acknowledge it, that we've messed up here, Lord. But would you give us a second chance? That is the God that we serve. He's a God of second chances. And he'll give you more than a second chance. So, here's the second part of Jonah's call. And that's important. Because the message never changed. It was still the same. So, the second part of the message is Jonah 3:2. Preach. Preach to it. That's Nineveh. Preach to it the message that I tell you. I want you to underline or take note of the word preach. We'll come back to that in a minute. Here's what God is saying to Jonah. The message will come as you arise and go. The message will come as you arise and go. The plans to plant a church that you've never done before in your life will come as you arise and go. The plans that you want to see fulfill in your life that is impossible right now, the plans will come as you arise and go. That is the part of the obedience that sometimes we leave it out. We want to be very spiritual about the calling, but we don't want to obey. The simple step, the simple submission to the call of God, to his voice. Arise and go. I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is what I do every single Sunday. The message does not come until I arise and go. I don't even know what I'm going to say. Most of the time, I arise and I go in obedience to what he's saying. The message comes when I arise and go, when I follow what he's saying to me at the moment. That is listening to his voice, listening to his spirit, being in tune with what he's saying, and arising and going one step at a time. That's all what it takes for each and every one of us to follow God's calling on our life. And you might say, you know what? It's fine for you to say, Pastor, you're the preacher. That's your job. You got one job. And you do it once a week. You better preach. That's your job. Well, I've got news for you. I'm not going to get mad. Did you know that if you are a believer here today, you've also been called to preach? Every single one of you. Every one of you, you've been called to preach. When we see the word preach, we shrink back Because we think, when we hear the word preach, guess what we think? Pulpit. We think pulpit. Preach or pulpit, preach, title. No, it has nothing to do with the pulpit, nor the title. Preach is simply this, proclaim. Proclaim the good news. Break it down even further. Tell someone about Jesus. That's what the word preach means. Proclaim the good news. Go tell someone about Jesus. We've all been called to do this. We've all been called to go tell someone about Jesus. If you are a stay-at-home mom, your pulpit is the kitchen table. Preaching to your family. Speaking to your family. Telling your family how good, how great God is. If your teacher, the pulpit is your classroom, telling the kids how good, how great our God is. If you own a gym, your pulpit is the bench press. As they're going down, you say, telling them how good, how great God is. You can do it with God. You have a preacher. He's got a preacher bench. If you're a nurse, your pulpit is the hospital bed. Telling them that you serve a God who is a great healer. That's the message. That's how we go out and we tell someone about Jesus. Here's my point. We've all been called. We've all been called to tell someone about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. This is what the word says in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Go. Don't stay, but go. Go tell someone about Jesus. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I struggle in that area. I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. How many of you would be honest enough to say that? That's not my strength. Yeah. Thank you for a couple of hands that are honest. This is not my strength. That has never been my strength to start with. Until God got me out of my comfort zone to go and talk to people about Jesus. Just random. Now you can't shut me up anymore. Every opportunity that I have to tell someone about Jesus, I will. It's like a radar. Like, who's going to be the next one? Where you at, Lord? Where do you want me to talk to? I'll find someone. I'll find someone at the rodeo to talk about Jesus. We're going to go. We went yesterday. We found somebody to talk to. We have to get out of that comfort place where we feel we are inadequate to share the good news. It's the good news. You're not telling them that they're going to die. You're giving them life, abundant life. Amen. So that's the part of that good news when you go out and you tell them how good and how great our God is. You tell them that you were once a Jonah, running away from God, but guess what? You found a God who chased you. How about you telling them the story of Jonah? That would be a great start, right? Let me tell you, you know, my pastor has been talking about Jonah a little bit. I invite you to church, which, by the way, right in front of your car, of your chair, you'll have something called You're Invited. You can grab one of these. In fact, we don't want any of these to stay behind you right there. Grab one. Go find someone that you can share the good news to. Invite them to church. If they are in a church, encourage them to stay planted in their own church. Not everyone is called to be at Ocean United. Encourage them to stay planted in their own church. Not the church of their choice, but the church of His choice. God has a place for each and every one of us to be planted so that we can experience Psalm 92. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish and shall bear fruits. The goal of being planted in a church is not to sit there and look pretty. Although we want you to sit there and look pretty. The goal of you being planted in a church so that you can grow. Amen. Not just grow, but grow and go. Go into every man's world, telling them about Jesus. Can I take it a little bit further? Is that okay if we can take it a little bit further beyond just go tell them about Jonah? About walking them through the gospel. How about walking them through the Word of God? How about just saying, you know what? Let me tell you about Romans 3:23. We've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Guess what, buddy? I'm telling you about this God, but guess what? I was there too. We've all have sinned and we've all messed up. How about not just stopping there? How about taking it to Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death, which means separation from God. But the gift of God, my God, the one that I'm telling you about, is eternal life. That's the gift. But don't just stop there. How about taking them to Romans 10:9? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved. How about taking it a little bit further? How about taking them to Romans 10:19? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about walking them through the gospel? How about us being knowledgeable in that area so that we can share the word? And not just tell them stories, but bringing them as in a place where the word of God itself is speaking what you cannot speak in your own strength. Because if we rely on just here, we cannot reach the loss. We need this. We need heart. We need passion. We need commitment. We need people who are hunger for God. I mean, we want to go and tell someone about Jesus. That's the calling that we have on our life, is to go and tell someone about Jesus. Did you know that you and I were better equipped than Jonah? Better equipped than Jonah to preach, to tell someone about God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come. He will come. He would come upon people like Jonah so that Jonah can do whatever God has called him to do. But then that same Holy Spirit will depart. Would not stay there present in Jonah's life. But you and I, we've been given a bigger promise. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes and establishes residence inside of us. As a proof that we are in Him. And He is in us. In 1 John 4:13, we find this beauty. This amazing scripture that says that, and God has given us what? His Spirit. God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. You see, we don't need just a second chance, but we also need the very presence of God. We need that second chance, but we need His presence to come in, to abide, and to live inside of us. Moving on really fast right now, I'm looking at the clock. John 16. No, this clock is fast. It's only 12. We got a couple of hours, right? All right, I'm going to slow it down. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 16, verse 13. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will what? Guide you. So why worry? Why worry where you're going to go? The Spirit of God that we've just read that is inside of you as a proof that shows that God is in you and you in Him. He said that same Spirit will guide you into all truth. So you don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be in worry about what is the next step. As long as you abide in Him and He in you, He will guide you. He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. So So why worry about what you're going to say when you meet Susie Q at Safeway? Why worry about what am I going to tell to this person? What am I going to tell to my boss? How am I going to be a good witness? You don't need to worry because the Spirit of the living God is in you. He will lead you. He will speak for you. All you have to do is to be available. I'm available, God. Just use me. I'm here. Just use me. Pick me, pick me. You know, we like this. Pick me, pick me. How about having this attitude? Lord, pick me. I'm ready to be used by you because we know that His Spirit lives inside of us. And whatever He's asking us to do, we're not going to do it in our own strength. We're not going to preach in our own strength. We're not going to preach from here, but we're going to preach from His Spirit. So I don't need to work up some stuff. Oh, I'm going to need to work myself up to tell somebody about Jesus. Just show up. Just show up. Just show up at church. Show up in the workplace. Show up wherever God has called you and allow Him to use you. And He will. God is looking for willing vessels all the time. As you arise and go, God will speak. It will tell you what to say. As we get ready to close, I'm going to go over the final verses of that chapter so that you can see what happened to Jonah when he obeyed, when he turned back to God, when he decided to arise and go. Jonah 3, verse 3, it says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly a great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, here's the message. What a simple message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the message. Now that's a simple, simple message. Believe me, the God that when God gives you a message to speak to someone, it's never going to be argumentative. It's going to be simple. You don't have to engage in a debate. In fact, you stay away from that. You don't have to do this. You don't have to work up anything in you to actually do it. You just show up and allow the Spirit of God to speak through you. In verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believe God. They believe God. They proclaim a fast, put on sackcloth, and from the greatest to the least of them. It was a simple message. And yet it led everybody back to God. The people repented. See, talking about culture, Jonah's task was not to go and change that culture. God didn't care about that. They were barbarians. God told him to just go and speak His word. A simple message. And that's what he did. That's what he did. He just showed up in Nineveh and gave the message that God gave to him. So let me ask you a question this morning. Where is your Nineveh? Where is that Nineveh for you? Where is it? Your Nineveh is Kodiak. The place where you are right now. You don't have to go somewhere else to tell other people about Jesus. How about starting right here, right now? So this card that you have in your hand, hopefully you have it in your hand. If you don't have it, could you please grab one? It's in front of you. It says your, can I get one? Thank you. It says right here, you're invited. Friends, there are people that are out there because of their past, because of their mess, because of their fears, because of their doubts. They don't think that they are invited in a church. In fact, that's the last place they will want to be at. Because what they remember is everything that they've done that is bad. How can a loving God invite them back? How can a loving God say to them that I'm the God of the second chance? There are hundreds of people that are outside of the four walls of this church that don't belong to another church, that are out there just roaming. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They're just roaming. They're not coming and being part of the body of Christ because they don't feel invited. So this is your Nineveh. Your Nineveh is the workplace. Your Nineveh is the family members that are way far out, that you've been so distant with them for many years. That's your Nineveh. Those are the people that you need to be reaching for God. Oceans United is known as a church that goes out and seeks the loss. Would you want to be part of this? That's the commitment that God has given to all of us, is to go and compel them to come in. We can't just sit here every Sunday and listen to a poor message that I try to put together. Some days it's good, some days it's not that good. Guess what? I'm not that good. But He is. If I can do something that is effective in my life, I can tell you about Jesus. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. I'm good at that. I might not be good in theology. I might not be good in reading big scriptures and showing you how amazing I am. I'm not that great. But I can point you to a great God. Could that be your assignment? Go find someone and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about, if they're not plugged in their church, invite them to come so that they can be part of this family. Look at verse 10. He says, then God saw their works. This is amazing. That's a big word right there. God saw their works. Guess what God is looking in you and in me? Our works. We can't just talk the big talk and not do anything. It's foolish. God says, I saw their works and that they turned from their evil ways. And God relented from disaster that He had said He would bring upon them. And He did not do it. Friends, we don't just serve a God of a second chance, but we also serve a merciful God. I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but I'm here to tell you that God's call will always come back to you a second time, because He's a God of a second chance. Would you please stand? You know, we've been talking about following God's call. We all desire that. Well, I want to follow God's call. I don't know any Christians say, you know, there's God's call, but I want to go the other direction. I don't think that's any of us. The problem is what we have is we don't know how. You know, we can talk about theology, we can talk about everything there, but until we get into the practicality of things, you know, it just makes a sermon a good sermon and that's it. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just hearing a good message, hearing a great, amazing worship. It's good to join in and be part as a family. It's a must. But we don't want to stop there. We want to go. I'm reminded right now by the Spirit of God of this scripture in Isaiah 30. It's talking about listening to the voice of God. And this scripture says, talking about going. It says, whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's what we want to hear when we want to follow God. He's calling. This is the way. Walk in it. It's simple. It's so simple. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not heed to. Would you not be a stranger to the voice of God? It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. I'm not going to be a stranger to His voice. I'm going to choose to hear His voice. And His voice will be behind me saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's simple. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, that You are a God of a second chance. That we've heard Your word. That Your word that we've heard, Lord God, is inside of us. Is stirring something great inside of us. He's making us even uncomfortable. But Lord, we welcome that. We welcome that squeezing. We welcome that shaking. We know it's Your grace at work in us. Let our ears be open and tune in to Your voice. Let us hear those calming voice. This is the way. Walk in it. Lord, let us not be strangers to Your voice. We receive You as our Lord and Savior. We bless Your holy name right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss and everybody goes, this place, this altar is available for us to pray for you. So I don't want you to leave this place without getting prayed for. God bless you all, and we'll see you again next Sunday. And guess what? Next Sunday we're going to have communion.